Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
It's my biggest fear that we have these conversations and I forget to record. And then it's like all that great stuff is lost. All right, so let's get started. Welcome to Beyond Monogamy.
You should probably just hit record the minute we just all pop in, and just in case there's just a pre-conversation rails. And
true that. But anyway. Then real names don't need to be discussed. Okay. Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, the podcast. I'm Janet Valentine.
No, I'm Roger Johnson.
And I'm Steve.
Barbie was supposed to join us. Whether or not she pops in or not, we don't know. But I believe the topic we're going to discuss today is a continuation of the family episode. Roger's thoughts, what he's come back with, any new Halloween stories that we've got, since we know that Halloween deserves a couple of different podcasts and things that go on. What do you got for me today, Roger? I know that you heard, have now listened to the episodes that you've missed because you were having fun on vacation. So what questions do you have for us?
I'm all caught up now. I'm glad we're circling back to this. So to recap, we had what I just captured in that is the couple up north. And mm-hmm. And then intermingled in that story became a character as the ball stretcher.
I knew you love that one.
So, she was great. She was so great.
So, and then later, if I've got it right, the wife of couple up north is the ball stretcher's mother-in-law.
Correct.
Married to her son. Okay.
Correct.
So did you ever confirm that you had just been just balls deep in both of them? Did they know that?
They know it now, but that came after the fact. At the time, we did not know that, but I just happened to be on C4P and looking around. And I for some reason, came up with the couple from the north. I'm going, okay, I know who that is. But then the daughter-in-law had pictures. I'm going, I found them on Facebook is what it was. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, wait a minute. I know it because on Facebook, I went to a family event because, as I said, hubby and I were very good friends to the point of doing lots of vanilla stuff with them. Uh-huh. Right. And it was the man of the North's birthday. And we went to an event that was a public sporting event, and a suite was rented out and pictures were taken. And of course I posted them on my Facebook.
Right.
And amongst the family was the couple from up north. And then I didn't know it, but it was Ball Stretcher and her husband. And
I love that name.
Steve called me and goes, holy shit. Okay. He's like, you're not going to ever believe this. You're standing next to the ball stretcher.
Let's see. So, I mean, there can only be one. And for every guy listening, he's got this question. I'm asking this for the rest of us. Who is the bigger freak?
I would say the ball stretcher, just because of the ball stretching, you know, just because I'd never had it done before. And she goes, I want to do this. I'm going, okay, let's go. And it was right there. It was wonderful. So,
You do this, and I'll tap.
Yeah. What's so funny is we talk about the vanilla world and then the lifestyle world. Well, right. The mother-in-law from up north, she's more pretty straight-laced lifestyle. I've never seen her do any wild, out kinky stuff. So I'd say the ball stretcher.
Can you imagine that ride home? Boy, you were really wild tonight. I saw you bent over.
Yeah.
the line, I have only general comments. I have no story to bring to the table here. I could share a version of a fantasy that was just a fleeting thought, and it's just nothing. But when family and or just other people start to come in, a few years ago, it would be my stepdaughter. So Dee and her daughter were talking, and the daughter was talking about that she was having just some relationship troubles, and we're talking about getting out, which they didn't know, but they were alluding that they were going to get out to lifestyle events. And she was telling me that, and I'm like, and there were still at the time my job, there were still some weekends that I had to work, and I was just going to be like, okay, time out. You're going to have the talk with her and just be like, one, this particular house party, that's our house party. Don't go there. And two, these certain set, we don't always do that. So, these certain Saturdays, if I'm off, there's going to need to be a talk Friday about what you're going to go do Saturday. Or don't just know you may pop around a corner and we'll have to say hi.
For those, I want to give some clarification. If you are a fly on the wall and you've just bumped into this episode and you have not listened to the family episode, okay, what we're discussing is the fact that there was a mother and father that were in the lifestyle for a long time that we had played with. And then it was by happenstance that we figured out that there was her son and her daughter-in-law were also in the lifestyle. And then it was years before we finally confronted one of them to say, do you know that the other one is in the lifestyle and do they know? And finally they admitted, yes, they did, but it was something that came during that 2-year period. It was discussed because of stuff. So just for some background where we are, and the daughter-in-law, she's called the ball stretcher because she has a kink fantasy, whatever fetish. She likes to stretch balls, to which Steve was happily involved. Okay, so that's where we come back from. If you're listening for the first time, go back and listen to that episode. Sure, I highly recommend it. But what I'm finding out is that, because I think the statistics are something like 30 to 35% now of married couples who are out there are in the lifestyle. And if this is the case, I think this instance happens more often than not. I mean, I think it's going to continue to happen more. And in this particular case, the couple from up north and the ball stretcher, the reason they never ran into each other is because they were the babysitters for the kids.
Right.
So on the weekends when ball stretcher and her husband, daughter-in-law and her husband were out at a party, the couple from up north were watching the children. And so then vice versa, they were the only babysitter for these children. So when the couple from up north was at a party, they obviously could not be watching the children. So there was never a time where they were going to both meet at a party. But we discussed also what happens when you see somebody at a party that you either work with or know from somewhere else, or that is a family member. Like hubby said, some of the worst words is "Hi, uncle."
I guess that's about as good as Auntie Janet and Auntie Barbie.
Well, we played that. So, yeah. And I think it goes into also, well, I'll let you go. So you have more questions, Roger? Were there any more questions you want to talk about?
That's about so much Detroit, questions.
Detroit Dan and his fear? How about that?
I couldn't even fathom that situation. As I may talk a mean game and it's fun and jokes, but I'd be just as mortified as he was. You know, hey, Gladys' dad had a great time and all that in the spirit of it all, but if I've got some locker room humor type joke, did you guys ever watch a show called Eastbound and Down?
No.
It was on HBO, and you can. Oh, I'm going to give it away if I say it. Let me circle. There's a.
All right, think about it for a minute. Think about it because we need to recap for people who have not listened to that episode. Okay, what we're discussing. You
recap it and then I'll talk about it. Go ahead.
What we're discussing is the fact that I was at a party. Detroit Dan was there. Unbeknownst to him, Big Dick Donnie decided in his ultimate wisdom to bring Detroit Dan's father to the party. Because he thought it was just going to be ultimately great that he was going to get to see all of these women do Big Dick, to do Detroit Dan, who happens to have a really big dick, and his father at the same time. And it was going to be great. And it was going to be father and son. Although he didn't clear it with the father. Well, he might have cleared it with the father, who had no clue exactly what kind of party he was going into. So knowing Big Dick Donnie, he didn't give him full information. And Detroit Dan had no clue that his father was coming. So imagine the scene where we're upstairs in a bedroom at the lake house. There are three or four women that we are the only woman in the room, and we're being serviced by Detroit Dan because that's the kind of guy that he is. And in walks his father with Big Dick Donnie. So that's the scene, to which point the only time I think I've ever seen Detroit Dan go flaccid. Okay, just completely flaccid. Like, it's the first time I've ever seen what it looked like when it's just hanging out in his jeans with no excitement. Okay.
So this show, it's a comedy show, and there's a guy that owns a car dealership, and it's played by Will Ferrell, and he's got this like gray wig on. He looks like a complete cornball. And the main character, and then he's a pro baseball player, or trying to be, or was kind of in and out. And then his rival, and they're standing there face to face, and the Will Ferrell's in the middle, and he's talking about being at home and just giving it to his wife, and he hears a noise at the door, and their son walks in, and the wife's like, "Oh my God, get out!" And he's just like, "No, let the boy watch."
Oh, jeez.
This is the stupid shit that pops into my head.
Right. It's just, and I'm saying it, that's total fantasy. Not even, you know, because it's just not even a fantasy. It's not good. Mm-mm. You may think it's good, but it's not good.
Yeah. No, I'd have been just. I'd still have nightmares.
So I have this one guy that I have on and off. He has texted me throughout the years. We met when I was with my first husband, and we met in a professional situation, and he's a lot younger than I am, like 20 to 30 years younger than I am. But when he was in high school, I think early high school years, a woman in the neighborhood, an older woman in the neighborhood, took his virginity, and he had a thing as a result for older women. It's unbeknownst to me. Okay. So fast forward to, we were in a professional situation, a business situation. I dealt with this guy on a regular basis, and somehow, somewhere, he might have texted me at one point when I was just beginning in the lifestyle with my first husband, and basically had said something salacious. I flirt a lot. Okay. I've always flirted a lot. It's fun. Okay. So I flirt a lot, and I flirted with him, and he basically said something salacious. I said something back. So fast forward to, this guy loved texting me stuff and telling me how much he wanted to be with me. And I was like, no way. 'Cause you know, I'm 30 years older than you, dude. Okay. 25 or 30 years older. And he's like, that's what I really like. Really like older women. And so he went on. And so through both that husband and my new husband, this guy throughout the years, every once in a while, will drop me a text and want to sext. Okay. Now, I get really busy at work, and sometimes I just don't have the time. And I have said to this guy, I don't have the time to do this. I'm not into this. If I'm going to spend the energy, I want to spend the energy in a physical, let's fuck. Okay. I don't want to spend the energy with some guy who likes to get his rocks off because I texted him something back. I'm good at it because I'm good with words. But eventually I get so busy in business, and this guy has never ever once come back at me and said, you're not texting me enough or whatever. Because I've always said to him, if I don't answer back, it may not mean that I'm not into this. It just means that I'm busy.
I'm fucking busy.
Right. So never once has this guy done this. The last couple of years, he's married, he's Catholic. So he's got the whole guilt shit going on all the time. And he's got kids. Okay. And his kids are now teenage year stuff. And so he is now, through the texting, it came out that he said his fantasy is that he wants to date my daughter, and that he eventually wants to marry my daughter. And then the night of the wedding, or at the wedding reception, fuck me in the coat room. Okay. That's his fantasy. That was the stop for me. I can't go that far. I can't, when you're bringing in hurting my kid, and I know it's what his fantasy was, and I know it would never, ever happen, right? But like, I don't have a desire to text this guy anymore. I don't know if it's,
I was like, wait, this is a fucking option? Steve, did you know this was an option? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm totally just kidding.
Wants to fuck their mother-in-law? And this is the guy's fantasy. And I know it's family, but it's married family. So it's not, you know, I can see where he's kind of coming from. But maybe it's because I went through the stuff with Detroit Dan and watched how he felt and what happened when the fantasy became reality. And in my head, I kept thinking, what if it actually gets to this? Because this dude is asking me where she lives, how he can, you know, he wants to start trolling her. I was like, nope. And so I just turned it off. I just said, done. And I know he sent me a note back and said, yeah, I guess I took it too far this time. I'm sorry.
Yes, I agree. That's a little out of bounds, you know.
And I know y'all think I don't have any boundaries, okay? But I totally drew a line for the first time ever. Besides the animals and children one. When Tracy called me up and asked me if I'd fucked a dog before, no, I have a line there. Guess I got another line, and that's that I'm not fucking any of my son-in-laws. I'm not even fantasizing about it. Okay, it's not a fantasy for me.
That was kind of all I had in regards to questions and stuff for that episode. But if we don't have a designated direction, I'll throw something out here that I learned vacation.
Okay.
On my vacation during talks. This is a big, did you know? I mean, I'm in the vicinity of this thing, and for years, never effing knew. And I'm going to, anyway, you've heard of people who hike the Appalachian Trail, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And so it's been a thing for years, and along that trail, there's kind of designated, there's places you can stop, and they'll have little like tent city things, and it's in these towns that these hikers stop in, they've kind of catered it to these hikers. If they're just right along that trail somewhere, there's like a big, like what you would see at a state park or national park, like a shower house, bathhouse type thing. I never knew all this. And the guy telling me about it is like, yeah, there's people just fucking like crazy in these little tent cities at night, and in these big showers, having big group shower orgies. And I'm like, you're fucking out of your mind. No way. And I'm looking and looking on Reddit, kind of shooting these messages to D, like, hey, can you believe this? Is this a thing? Can you find something on this? And it is my goal to verify this in 2025, because I mean, I don't have a desire to hike the Appalachian Trail. I'm just going to find two hot spots and hike in between them. So I'm catching people and just slay some ass every night for a week. That's all I'm out to do. I want to verify that. I wanted some version of that to happen, and I want to bring the story to this podcast.
I think that that's one where you got to bring Tornado, because according to Steve, those guys like to do outdoor camping. For me, I'm out. Okay, I don't do outdoor camping. Okay, no. I know that there's campgrounds in Texas, there's campgrounds in Arkansas, there's campgrounds in Oklahoma. I'm trying to think, where else do I know? Probably Wisconsin in the summer, where they're designated lifestyle campgrounds. You go up there, you pitch your tent, you run around. I think the one in Texas is called something called the Purple Peacock or something. One of the people I met, one of my friends that I met at Naughty in New Orleans is a regular at that. And the only way I'm doing one of those is because there's cabins available. I will stay at a cabin. I work too hard for my money to ever have to turn around and lay on the ground to sleep. It's not happening.
That's true. Well, we were traveling, and there's a designated lifestyle place in southern Iowa or northern Missouri, and it's just completely lifestyle. So, but to go along with the Appalachian Trail, Roger, in the NASCAR circuit, there's a group of lifestyle people. They travel in their fifth wheels, their motor coaches, and they have their own little club right down there in the little circle of the NASCAR circuit. They all travel together. Watch it.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of six or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious, moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit BeyondMonogamyPodcast.com.
Let's get back to hearing from the guilty.
So
are they banging?
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of swingers. They travel together, and then they have their own little community within the NASCAR group, and they all hang out together, which is wonderful. But let me tell you, we at the lake house, a couple came down, visited one night. They had been at a camping event, and I said, how is it to play as a swingers party, an orgy for a camp? He said, it's horrible because there's no room in them to play. Right. So you go find somebody, take it back to your place. So yeah, camping and swinging is not a good mix or good fit.
No, so, you're just gonna get like the little onesie, you know, it's not exactly gonna be like
good function. I know my friend Marilyn. Okay. I know that she and one of her boyfriends would go to these campouts, and she discussed it. And the reason that I know about it and she talks about it is because she was at a particular campground, and they were there all weekend. And she described that the first night, because she likes to have her comfort too, they took two blow-up mattresses and they stacked them on top of one another. So it was almost like Princess and the Pea type bed was really high. And she was talking about fucking on that, and that the one mattress kept sliding off. Okay. And she said it was like, okay. And the reason this came up in discussion was because she said she was there the first night at the campground, and her boyfriend, the same guy that, if you've heard the podcast where I talk about the cucumber and the dildo, that was that guy. Okay. So they were at that campground. He knew us. He knew me very well. And they were sitting at the campground, and the couples were sitting around the fire, and my ex-husband was sitting there, and with his girlfriend who were in the lifestyle. And Marilyn called me up the next week and said, oh my God, we ran into your ex-husband. I go, how do you know? And she said, he was talking at the fire about his bitch of a first wife that left him and lost a $2.5 million company and blah, 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 blah. And how she just walked out and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, that was me. And then she goes, and I really know because one of the other women came over and said, what a small dick that he had. I know those campgrounds are out there, and I knew that people do it. The closest I've come. So the thing is, I know this is going to sound just really crass. We had a friend, hubby number two, and I were friends. I became friends with her when I went through my separation from my first husband, and I lived with this woman for a while. She protected me and kept me hidden from my first husband. And she was a wonderful person. She's the one that gave me when you are dating somebody, always make sure, especially if they come to live with you, that you have their stuff in three tubs. So that if you decide and get pissed off, that you can just take the three tubs and put them out on the porch and tell them to go away. So I learned that lesson, and I was always, I kept my stuff in three tubs for a long time, for a while when I was dating my second husband. this woman was not in a lifestyle, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know if she was in the lifestyle or not, but she was. She could have been. She got sick, and she was basically in a situation where she needed hospice health care, and she couldn't afford it. So all of her friends, we got together on an email chain. This was across the United States, and said, we need to help her. And each of us chose a week to be with her and be her nurse. So I chose a week to be with her. She lived in a, well, I can even say it because, you know, I didn't live there. She lived in Branson. So she lived in Branson. She was a realtor in Branson, and for a time she did lots of other things, but she was, sick. So she was a realtor. So we, reserved for a week, a condo near her condo, because we didn't want to, you know, intrude. If I'm going to take care of her as a nurse, I'm not living with you. I'll just go home and chill, because I can't deal with 24 hours of pain. I'll deal with 12 to 14 hours. Okay, so that was what the thing was. We reserved this condo. And she passed away a week before I was supposed to take care of her. So it was too soon, too close to the time for us to cancel the reservation. So hubby says, let's just go. Let's just go to Branson. What's the worst that can be happen? I mean, you know, we've already paid for it. Sure, you're not taking care of her anymore, but it'd be stupid to waste this money. Let's go. So we said, okay. So we go. First night, he puts out, I think on C4P or SLS, that we're out on the town in Branson. And so it's like a Saturday night. We go and meet this couple for dinner. And we're talking to them, and we have fun with them. We take them back to our condo and play. They were from Minnesota. I love the guy's accent, you know, and so he's the Minnesota guy, and so he's very nice and tall guy, and his wife was a lot of fun, and we played with them. We had a great time. And then they tell us, after we're done, they go, well, you realize where you're condo is, not even a half a block up the street, is another street full of cabins, and this is all the Silver Lifestylers. We're having a party all week long.
Oh, wow.
We travel. It's like they're from Minnesota. My hubby number two has the best luck ever. Okay. Like, only he can have one of our friends die. We go over there and say, let's go anyway. It's a sad, sad thing. And then you go out with somebody, play with them, figure out, hey, there is a group. There are 54 more couples that are all in these, the same condos strip. I mean, all up and down, like to the point. So these guys take us on Monday night, and on Tuesday night, we go, and basically they have like six or seven huge cabins that have big dining rooms, big areas to play in, and they're playing. And so basically you just hop from one condo to the next condo to the next condo.
Oh, wow.
To look around in the evenings. I'm for that. Okay, I'm not up for camping, right? But you get me on a cabin that's kind of nice or whatever. So it turned out to be a really fun, and you want to talk about, you're in a headspace where you've lost your friend, and you do the contemplating because she's near you in age, and you do the contemplating of what are you doing with your life and blah, blah, blah. And you're in all of that headspace pain. There is nothing better than to fuck it away with a bunch of strangers.
100%.
You know, it's like that. And this group, they're out there, and they're on, you know, they will sometimes will do their trips, and they'll advertise them out on C4P or SLS. And they'll come down. They travel. They usually are traveling to a destination. They'll take a month to get there, and they'll stop for 1 week in this town. one week in the next town and one week in the next town until they get to whatever the destination is for that year. And typically it's, you know, coming down to Florida or Georgia or Texas or someplace warm because they're coming down from Minnesota. And they all live up in the Minnesota, Wisconsin type area. And I've got a couple of them that are friends, you know. But yeah, that was fun. Hopping around was a lot of fun.
Wow, that sounds so great. It really does.
I hope this podcast spreads. And I want to send a message to them or a group. If you're listening and you're in a group that sounds like that, that was just described, email me at spitroast@gmail.com, please.
Right. Because, I mean, we'll be happy to let you know the details. When I got into this lifestyle a long time ago, I got into it in a very unsafe way. I got into it because I was cheating on my first husband. When he found out, he was like, are you going to divorce me? And I was like, well, I was just in it for the sex. Okay. And he's like, well, if you're in it for the sex, I want to watch. Let's do this. And so the first playing that we did was grabbing single males off of Craigslist and the MFM type stuff. He would grab a single male off of Craigslist. I would do the guy in front of him. Yes, it was kind of weird cuckolding or whatever. And it was really exciting, but it was also, when I look back on it, really dangerous. Very dangerous, because you're meeting the dude off of Craigslist. It's not vetted. You don't know anything about him. They can say that their name is John Smith, but it could be Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay. You True. Don't know. And so, you know, and what happened was we were playing with a couple of single guys, and then a couple reached out to us on Craigslist, and we went to play with them. And when we went to play with them, it turns out that this couple knew Barbie and her husband and were lifestyle couple, but they happened to be trolling Craigslist and they found the advertisement that we had on Craigslist for it. We went and played with them for the first time. It was a lot of fun. She was an ex-stripper and it was a lot of fun playing with them. They said to us when we were done playing, you guys need to get off of Craigslist, because this is not the place to meet couples. There are websites out there. There are websites out there where the people are vetted. Yeah, you're still going to get the fakers. You're still going to get the guy who acts like he has a woman, but he doesn't really have a woman, and you don't find out until you get over there and she doesn't exist. Okay, you still get a few of those, but you learn as you're on those websites who the right couple is to look for. And, you know, it's really how many recommendations do they have, and what do the recommendations say? And I've gone through this before, but if the recommendation says, well, they're very nice people, don't meet those people. Okay. If it says she knows how to fuck and he's a lot of fun and can get it hard and really go to town, that's the couple you want to meet. So you got to read through the recommendations, because, people want to be nice. They don't want to say anything bad. They don't want to get in trouble for blackballing somebody. You don't want to blackball them, but read through the lines on the references on what it is that people are saying about another couple.
If it says had a great time at dinner,
yeah,
the story is in the clues.
Yeah. My favorite one is met this couple at a party. Great couple. Enjoyed visiting with them. Piddlers to me. Right off the bat, piddlers.
Right. Yep. You know, but if it says he really knows how to make a woman's world rock, that's it. Do it.
I think Craigslist is nearly dead at this point. I haven't been on there in so long. I don't know. But I mean, when you're just getting started and you're looking for trouble, that was just kind of where I think a lot of people started, because they just knew there was a column for freaks looking for freaks, and right. It wasn't until you got out enough or chatted enough or you're on there chatting and somebody says, are you on SLS or C4P or SDC or
right.
Cassidy or, you know, what
Wing Lifestyle, types. I think, is another one, you know.
Yep.
I'm so old that it was before the internet. Okay, before the internet. That's how old I am, before the internet. With my first husband, when I had my first child, I guess a year and a half or 2 years in, he was very addicted to pornography. And so he was, back then, there was no internet pornography. So you were buying Playboys and Hustlers and those things. And so yep. He spent a lot of money on nudie magazines. And what you used to do, this is how old I am, you used to do is you would go to the back of the Playboy magazine or the Hustler magazine, and there were little ads with different post office boxes or addresses where you would write a letter describing what you and your wife looked like, what you liked, and include a picture of yourself if you wanted to in that letter. And it was usually nudie pictures, and mail it to the other person, to the point that I caught him with these letters one time. And I had no clue this even existed as the world out there. And I remember being just pissed off and flabbergasted, and like, what the hell is this? And, you know, you've been
seen my book
me.
Of stamps.
I just bought
a book of stamps yesterday, and they're fucking gone.
He spent a lot of money on magazines, and he spent a lot of money on these letters. And I think that's also why I think the prevalence of lifestyle is going up, is because it's a lot easier now. It is a hell of a lot easier and a lot safer now to do. So, but that's how old I am. And yes, I was freaked out back then. So then fast forward to, I've had my kids, I've raised most of them, and I finally have a situation where I've been fixed. So I can't get pregnant, which is the big one, because I was pretty fertile. And then I just, I wanted sex, and I wanted good sex, and I wasn't having good sex with him. And so I was faithful to him for 26 years. Okay. And then I just was, something happened with him and I, and he embarrassed me in front of a lot of people at work. And I said, I'm done. I'm going to switch. I'm going to fuck around. And so the first guys that I fucked around with were guys that had flirted with me, but they were in other states. So then when I came back home, I'd had so much fun doing that I was like, okay, where do I do it? And I had answered a couple of Craigslist ones, just me, myself. And then when he caught me, he was like, and I said, look, you wanted to do this 25 years ago. And I said, no. Now he said, I want to do this together. So it's great. You're like, finally, I have this person who wants to do it together. The problem was, even when I was just beginning and we fucked around with that couple for the first time, I got yelled at all the way home, to the point of one point I got out of the car and started walking, because he was so, yes, I want you to do this. But afterwards, he was critiquing me on everything and controlling me on everything, you know, and telling me that I can't do something with somebody else because I haven't done it with him first. It's bullshit, you know?
No. So when you were breaking out and started doing that, and then through time and through the years, did anybody you had played around with ever kind of circle back around and show up with or without somebody, but in the lifestyle setting?
Oh God, that's a whole, that's, I don't
is
know.
Is that what we're going to talk about next time?
That's a whole podcast. I have a funky story. Yes, I do. So let's park that one. That's a good question. Let's park it. ask me ask me the next time about the tree man. And I will tell that story because it is. Yes.
I've heard of fucking the pool guy, the tree guy.
Well, but and Janet's also the Culligan guy.
Oh yes, we did the Culligan guy. Oh my gosh, I forgot
the lake house. Yeah, the Culligan guy.
Now that one's quick. We can call that one quick. I mean, I owned the lake house. I had the Culligan guy come out and work on the softener. And I should have known because Big Dick Donnie knows everybody at the lake. And so this guy comes out to work on the software and he's out there in the morning and we were actually having a party.
Right.
And he comes out to work on it. And a couple of us were commenting on how hot that guy looked that was going over there to work on the softener. And so then he leaves and I tell Big Dick Donnie that the softener's been fixed. And he's like, that was Pete. He goes, did Pete come out and fix that softener? And I go, yeah, the guy's name was Pete. And he goes, oh, he goes, you know, he's in the lifestyle. I was like, what? At which point I said to Donnie, invite him to our party this evening. You have permission to invite him to the party this evening. And he did. And Pete showed up without his wife, who he later ended up dropping. You see that. So what's really weird in the lifestyle is you will have people, and I don't know if you guys have run into this before, but you'll have married people that are in the lifestyle. And I mean, I guess I'm one of them. They will break up and then they'll show up with another partner and it may be somebody else from the lifestyle. You know, that this relationship didn't work. So they break up. And so then they hook up with somebody else in the lifestyle. Because as I said before, when I broke up with my first husband, my biggest concern was how am I going to tell the people I'm dating that I'm into this? Because I'm not stopping. You know, I'm not stopping just because my first husband is gone. Hell, I'll be the unicorn for a while, but you know, I'm not. And if I hook up with a guy for any period of time, he better damn well understand that this is something that I want. Now, I dated four guys at the time that I broke up with my first husband. One of them, the only one, hubby number two, is the one that knew that I was in the lifestyle. The other three didn't have a clue. They just knew I was damn good sexually. So they were trying to hang around for that reason. But I dropped them. So that's another story too. I can tell you another day. That one's pretty quick. So one of the guys that I was dating, I had met him on a boat. We were running around on his boat. I happened to give him a blowjob out in the middle of the lake when we were sailing, and he thought that was really hot. And so we had a great time and he said, I started giving a blowjob. Then we went downstairs to fuck in the sailboat. And so he said, yeah, let's go out again. And so he had me meet him at a restaurant for the second date. And he said, you know, let's go to this restaurant. You leave your car here. My house is about a mile and a half down the road, 2 miles down the road. And he goes, I want you to leave your car here because I have a new ex-wife and she's really jealous. And if she sees your car, she's going to come by. So I made the stupid mistake of agreeing to do that. And I got in the car with him and drove to his house. We get in there. He tells the babysitter to leave. I had no idea that he had a 10-year-old that was there. So I was like, God. So he takes his 10-year-old and he tells his 10-year-old to go to bed. You know, it's like 10:30 or whatever. So the kid goes to bed. I meet the 10-year-old. Hey, it's your father's date or whatever. And this was before Uber and Lyft. Okay.
Yep.
So girls, I will tell you, never do this. Never leave your car somewhere where you can't get to it. Okay. So even if I had already played with them out on the sailboat. So I thought, you know, hey, I've played with this guy once, you know, it's gonna be fun. So we go into his room He wants me to blow him again. And so we start playing. I start blowing him. Takes probably, you know, about 10 minutes for me to get him to where he's going to come. And he screams when he comes. And I'm thinking, you're going to wake up that 10-year-old. That boy has got to hear his dad screaming. And I'm waiting for the little kid's knock on the door. It doesn't happen. Okay. So I get done blowing him. And he says to me, can you go and sleep out on the couch? Not even, hey, it's your turn to get off or whatever. Okay. He says,
oh, geez.
I know. So he's basically, I'm satisfied now. And he goes, I don't want you to sleep here. And he goes, cause I gotta sleep alone. And I gotta, I'm pretty sure you probably snore, which yeah, guys, I snore. So I was like,
he said that to you.
Yeah. He said it to me. And I was like, I thought to myself, now you got to understand, I had just gotten out of 28 years of a relationship with a controlling guy. So I have another guy telling me this shit. And I'm like, and in my head, I'm thinking, well, that's it. I'm never doing this again. And I go out on the couch. Okay. Shut the door, go out on the couch. It's probably midnight at this time. And I get a text from hubby two boyfriend at the time who says, hey, how's it going? You know, got to understand he's one of four at this time. And he's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, it's not going so good. And he's like, what's going on? And I text him back and I go, I'm with some other guy. I made him very happy. And now I'm out on the couch because he has no intention of making me happy at all. To which he's like, I'll talk to you for a while. I was like, I can't sleep. And he's like, I'll talk to you for a while. And then he goes, how far away are you? And I tell him the address. It's 2.5 hours from where he is. And he says, I'll come down and get you and take you to your car. Ladies, I know that's a 5-hour turnaround because he's going to drive down here for 2.5 hours, take me to my car, and then drive back. So it's at that point, I'm just like, oh my God, that's so nice. And you know, by this time, it's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I know I can't walk down to get my car. It's too far. And I know that we're supposed to get up at 6:30 or 7 so we can take the son to the to meet the first wife or whatever, and he's going to supposedly drop me off at my car. So I just tell boyfriend, thank you very much. That's very, very thoughtful of you, but I can handle it. I'm not in any danger. I'm just going to go to sleep and wake up the next morning and make sure I never deal with this guy again. And so I, the next morning we get up. He tells me he doesn't want to take me to my car yet. He wants to drop his kid off. He's got to be there at a certain time, blah, blah, blah. It's the other way. So yeah, we go and drop his kid off. I have to tolerate this asshole for another hour. Then he drops me off at my car. And at which point I go home. And remember that friend I have that said, you're not in a lifestyle anymore. She was also my friend at the time, at the beginning of this. And she said to me, why are you continuing to date these wrong guys? When I tell her the story, she's like, you know who the right guy is. The right guy is the guy who said, I'll drive down and pick you up and take you over to your car, even though it meant 5 hours. And she's like, he's the one for you. And I was like, yeah, but it's too soon, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, fuck timing. And so that was where it really came out to play. And I was like, yeah. And that was when I stopped trying to date other people that I knew didn't fit. I knew in my heart that this guy fit. So, and then, you know, top that with what he said to me after the strip club and after, you know, trying to blow the guy that I couldn't make come. There's absolutely no other way somebody's going to get in between me and husband number two. Period. Just not going to ever happen.
That's also the moment you should have known that you're a true bona fide hot piece of ass, because no dude's gonna just drive 2.5 hours for a low grade piece of ass. Like, oh, Well, I just wanted to say hi before I go to bed. Hope everything works out. No. Anyway.
Yes, so it is. So another time we will have to tell. I'll tell you the story about the tree guy.
Yeah, it's captured.
Okay, so this is a great episode, you guys. I also need to tell you more on another episode about the six pack. We need to do an episode on sexual positions and sexual things to do while in the middle of sex that you're doing, because I have fully come to understand that, yes, I really do like to have my fingers sucked and my toes sucked. Because he's laughing because he knows it. He knows that this is true. So we need to play again. Yes, I know that that's true. Anyway, for all you flies on the wall that have joined us and listened all the way up to this point, I really appreciate it. If you want to join the podcast, if you have a group of lifestylers that have a regular party that you want us to let other people know about, we're happy to do that. Go to beyondmonogamypodcast.com. It is a website. You can also find all of the previous podcasts, beyondmonogamypodcast.com. And you can email me, you can email Roger, and let us know what your thoughts are, what you'd like to talk about, if you'd like to be a guest, all the other good stuff. If you have a party you want us to tell about, we'll be happy to help announce it. Please don't spam us. And also, if you do remember, please leave a tip. I don't care if it's $1, $2, whatever, for Mandingo. This guy is producing these podcasts, and it takes a little bit of work, and he's doing it for free. Just because I think part of him really is titillated and wants to hear the stories. And so we'll save some topics until next time. And so for all of you flies on the wall that came, we hope you come again and come again. And come again.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.